Brothers and sisters, the readings that we've just heard are some of the most straightforward teachings we have on materialism. And as people who live in a society that's very focused on superficial material things, I think we need to pay special attention to these readings. We live in a world that seems to grow more materialistic every single minute. The number 5 song on the Billboard charts last week was Travis McCoy's Billionaire song, where we get to hear him drone on and on about how badly he wants to be a billionaire. And we've heard countless media stories covering the Clinton wedding, talking about how much the wedding cost, how much her dress cost. And we tend to uphold people as a society who are worldly, right? In fact, the word worldly is often used as a compliment. It seems to me that we suffer from what PBS has termed affluenza, the bloated, sluggish, and unfulfilled feeling that results from the efforts to keep up with the Joneses. And I don't want to limit this affluenza to merely material possessions. It affects all areas of our life as well. We often want to be perceived a certain way. We want people to think of us as wealthy or successful or scholarly or well-traveled or worldly. Now listen to what the scriptures have to say about our affluenza. Vanity of vanities, all things are vanity, says the first chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Friends, there's a reason that the book of Ecclesiastes is considered wisdom literature. There's a lot of wisdom in it. The first reading today not only calls our affluenza, our pursuit of superficial things, vanity, but it also refers to it as a great evil. Well, this seems to fly smack in the face of our culture, doesn't it? What our world calls fortune, having the most expensive weddings, the latest gadgets, the Bible calls vanity, a great misfortune. Scripture tells us that there's no profit in our seeking material wealth. And I think we can all recognize that this is true. In fact, it's precisely the fact that it is true that allows materialism to spread so rampantly. You see, if our deepest desires could truly be satiated by material possessions, then materialism would come to a startling halt because we'd be satisfied with what we have and we wouldn't need more stuff to satisfy ourselves. But what actually happens is quite different, isn't it? You see, the iPhone, which we thought was going to fulfill our deepest desires, didn't satisfy us. And so now we need an iPhone 4. And this constantly happens, doesn't it? Our desires are never truly filled, no matter how much stuff we have. No, we constantly want more. Now listen to the words of Jesus. Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of material possessions. One's life does not consist of material possessions. Friends, how often are we guilty of violating this principle? How often do we obsess over our possessions? All the time, right? Like the man in the parable, we're constantly seeking to build bigger barns to store our grain. In 1970, the average home size in the U.S. was just under 1,000 square feet. Now it's over 2,300 square feet. And when we fill up this space, what do? We rent storage units to hoard our possessions. In writing on materialism, Catholic author Matthew Kelly points out that if we use our possessions, they can be powerful tools for achieving our ultimate purpose, But then he goes on to warn us that if our possessions control us, they prevent us from becoming all that we can be. Friends, how often do we allow our possessions to own us? How much time do we spend tracking every movement that our stocks make? How obsessed are we with our credit score? How much of our lives are spent making sure that our wardrobe is fashionable? How much do we worry about our 401ks and other retirement vehicles in hopes of being prepared for the future so that we can say to ourselves, "Self, you have so many good things stored up for years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry." Now again, I'm not suggesting that we completely ignore the future and store nothing up for our retirement. But I do agree with Matthew Kelly. And I agree with him that our possessions can be good things, but not if they're preventing us from reaching our potential. Not if they're controlling our lives rather than helping to free us so that we can grow in holiness. Let's think about this for a minute. We spend countless hours worrying about the future and our future finances. And these investments that we're looking at, that we're obsessing over, need to last us, what, 30, maybe 40 years? Now ask, how much time and energy do we put into our spiritual lives? How much time and effort do we put into building up our heavenly retirement plan? And see, that has to last us for eternity. See, we're quite willing to give Jim Cramer an hour of our time to explain how we should be spending our mad money. Yet, when it comes to our spiritual lives, the treasure that needs to last us for eternity, we're all too eager to do the minimum, right? We tend to show up late on Sundays and then leave early. We're quick to read the latest financial book or the latest fashion magazines. But when was the last time we picked up a Bible or one of the classic works of the saints? While we tend to spend numerous hours checking up on our material lives, taking care of our financial status or our social status, we often fail to give this type of attention to our spiritual lives. And in fact, as St. Paul warned us in the second reading, our self-centeredness, our greed, becomes a form of idolatry. So how can we combat this idolatry? Well, here I think that theologian Sebastian Moore can offer us some assistance. Sebastian Moore notes that we often forget that we are desired by the one whom we desire. That is, that we are desired by God, who is the one whom we truly desire. And when we lose sight of that fact, when we lose sight of the fact that God finds us desirable, we instead begin to seek approval from other sources. We look to our peers. We look to other people to tell us that we're desirable. And this leads us to try to impress these other people to prove that we're desirable. So we show off our wealth, our good looks, at least if you're like me, our intellect. And we do this in order to impress other people. And of course, this means that we end up needing to compete with others, not only to merely keep up with the Joneses, but to surpass the Joneses so that we seem more desirable than the Joneses. And as this cycle sets into motion, we end up focusing our energy on superficial things. And the next thing you know, we're rather mindlessly joining Travis McCoy in singing about our material desires and how we too want to be billionaires. Friends, the good news is that we can break this cycle. We can be cured of our affluenza. And the cure begins by coming to the revelation that we are loved by God, that we are loved by the one whom we desire. This means that we don't need to be seeking approval from other people. We don't need to prove to others or even to ourselves that we are desirable. The chains that have enslaved us to this superficial, materialistic world have been broken. We can now spend our time focusing on what really matters, namely our relationship with God. We can stop worrying about the investments that we have on Wall Street and instead can look at the portfolio that we're building in heaven. After all, in the end, the treasure that we have in heaven is the only treasure that has lasting value. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who build their treasure in heaven.